Welcome to Building My Legacy Podcast. This podcast is designed for leaders and entrepreneurs who want to leave a legacy and will provide strategies that focus upon key elements for legacy creation, determining your desired impact and its benefit, increasing your legacy's reach by engaging key stakeholders, planning, prioritizing, and executing. Here's your host, Dr. Lois Sonstegard.
Welcome, everybody, to today's Building My Legacy podcast. I have with me today Matt Kierkegaard. Matt has a company called Movement Property Group. Now, his background is a little bit in a circle. So he grew up and moved from, well, I don't know if you grew up in Wyoming, but you moved from Wyoming to Nashville to pursue a music career. And while you were there, you lived in your car for a period of time. You were homeless for a period of time, and then realized that there was another track, another place for you to land and be successful. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk a little bit about that story, how you began, how you went from music to property. Is it property management? Is it real estate? What is it? Exactly.
It's real estate. We help buyers and sellers and investors and developers and builders across Middle Tennessee. It's definitely an interesting circle and not an abnormal story, I suppose, for Nashville. Nashville being Music City, there were no shortage of musicians who have other side gigs. I did grow up in Wyoming. I started playing piano when I was 6. I started playing professionally when I was 9. I was invited to Juilliard at 14.
So
concert pianist is my background.
That's huge. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I did music professionally, like I said, since I was 9 years old. It's really all I've ever known. And I actually moved to Los Angeles to pursue music, and I tested out the music program at the university there as a freshman and ended up feeling like I just needed to go pursue what I wanted to, do with my life, which was music for sure. And so I drove to Nashville. Knew nobody. So I lived in my car for about 6 weeks and then have been there ever since. And Nashville became home really fast. And I worked all the side jobs that most musicians have to work at some point. So I worked coffee shops and I worked, at a recruiting firm and at a hotel and all the side gigs that you do while pursuing music. And then I ended up actually landing a pretty great gig in the music industry. And I was in the music industry full time for about 6-7 years. And at that point, I met my wife and we got married and we had, a lot happen. There's, the Barna statistics of the top 20 stressors a marriage will experience in a lifetime or something like that. And we hit 18 of them our first year. And so, one of those things ended up being a family member stealing a pretty substantial amount of money from us and causing us to lose our house. And so for our first year and a half of our marriage, we were homeless. And when I say homeless, I mean living in my car. We had some friends that let us stay in their dining room for a period. We had some other friends that let us stay in their garage for a little bit. So we were just kind of all over. And so I had done decently well in the music industry, but not enough to recover this kind of loss. And a friend of mine just kind of threw off the whim, "You should do real estate." And I had never thought about real estate. Didn't know anything about real estate. But in looking into it, discovered that there's a 90-hour course that would get my license and I could start selling houses. And I figure my whole job, my whole life has been people and relationships. Certainly one of them will buy or sell a house. And if I can do that, that's a little bit of money. So let's do it. So I did my 90 hours of coursework in 5 days and got my license over the weekend. And within 6 months, I was in the top 10 agents in the highest volume office in the state. Within my first year, I was in the top 3% of agents in the country. My goal had always been to get back to music full time. And I knew that that would either mean I would exit real estate or I would figure out a sustainable way to leverage myself out of real estate. And I initially chose to do the former and exit real estate. And I announced I was leaving, and my title company and my lender staged an intervention and said, "You can't quit real estate. You should really think about how you can leverage us, how you can grow." And so I started a company at that point in time, built a team, and ultimately, actually this year, I'm kind of leveraging myself back into music full time, with still owning this company and operating the company out of Nashville too. So there is kind of a both and end to the story, but that's the truth for a lot of entrepreneurs, I think, is I've had to classify myself as an entrepreneur at this point. You know, you own several businesses, you own lots of ideas and lots of pursuits, and you ultimately figure out your way to leverage yourself out of those so that they run without you and you can keep an equity piece of that. So that's where I'm at now.
So Matt, giving up something where you're incredibly skilled, like music. Mm-hmm. Not many people are musicians at the age of 9, right?
Sure.
So to give that up and to live as you did, that's a lot of giving up. So what was the process that you went through?
I think there's two pieces to that. I think on one hand, I'm sorry, I'm getting over a cold. On one hand, when you get married, you choose to have a family. And when you get into a place where survival is necessary, you do what you have to do. And so on one hand, it was I stopped caring about what I wanted to do and I started caring about what I had to do because it became very survival and for me. And so it was, what do I have to do to keep living? And so it just was, this is what I have to do. And then to be able to keep both in my story, that became a very guttural response for me that I am always going to go back to doing music. I'm never giving that up. And anyone will tell you in my real estate world that I have always been very vocal about the fact that I'm still a musician. I'm still going back to music. That's the goal. Like, this is always going to be the goal for me. I don't have a plan B. I don't have a second option. I don't have this ability to do music as a hobby. That's what I'm passionate about, what I want to pursue and what I will pursue. And so I've held both of those things. I think I got into a place where we didn't have an option and I had to do what I had to do. And then I still held this dream and this passion that I have for music to continue to pursue that and ultimately willing to sacrifice again for music as I've sacrificed my whole life for music. I'm willing to sacrifice again for music. But this became a survival thing. So there was just, you do what you got to do.
So when you have music, your piano, right? That's what you said. Mm-hmm. Concert.
Correct. I'm a pianist and composer.
So going on the road, having concerts is your dream. I'm guessing because it's that goes with being a musician. And
it does. I definitely am a performer. There's two sides. You could be a studio musician and stick in the studio. I prefer performance. I'm a people person and a relational person. So the stage is home to me. I was in the pop industry for a bit. And so most of my current music industry life has been in more of the pop industry. But yeah, that's definitely home for me and what I love to do.
So how did you keep that first love of yours alive while you pivoted? Because a lot of people allow it to get extinguished. You did something to keep it alive.
That's a great question. And I don't actually even know if I fully know the answer to that, other than I'm really stubborn and I'm very bullheaded. And I refused ultimately at all costs to let that die. I live in Nashville. Nashville's music city. There are more musicians per capita in Nashville than any other city in the world. And so Nashville is riddled with musicians who've let that dream die and they've taken up something else for whatever reason, money, stability, structure, routine, family, whatever, but they've taken up something else and let that music piece die. And I have too many of those friends who've lost that. I had one friend, actually, this is maybe a great story, good anecdotal story. I had a friend who was a senior level position at one of the companies I worked at, and he was a world-class drummer. And he gave it up a decade before I met him. And so he hadn't touched the drums in a long time. And every time I talked to him about the drums, he'd get like teary eyed and he'd kind of come alive. And then you would just see it like shut off. And it was almost like a movie scene. Like he just would shut off and back to work because he can't really let himself be there very long because he misses it so deeply. I was talking to his wife at one point. He wasn't there. And I mentioned something along those lines that I know he still has this passion for drumming. And she started crying. And she said, the man I married doesn't exist anymore. The man I married died when he gave up drums because I married a drummer. And that's where his love is. That's where his passion is. And that isn't there anymore. And a part of him died when he gave that up. And I remember witnessing that in my heart. I was so sad that that part of his life had been fully given up. And I just became very unwilling to ever do that to myself. I became unwilling to do that to my wife, to my kids. My wife's mom was a brilliantly talented artist, and my wife watched her give up that dream for her kids. And my wife to this day still wishes and laments the fact that her mom didn't continue to pursue that while having a family, while bringing her kids into that space. And so I don't know, I just became really stubborn and really unwilling to give that and let that part of me go, because I know it's such a part of my DNA. It's part of my operation. And I would say that that's true for a lot of artists. The arts world, pursuing an artist's life, is hard. It's always going to be hard, and everything else is easier. So if you let everything else be an option, you almost inevitably will take that option, and art and music and will tend to go to the wayside. So I had a business professor in college who said, if you're going to make it music, you're going to make it or die trying. There's no plan B. And I think that's true. And so the fact that I never really let myself look at myself as anything other than a musician, and I never really let myself have a plan B, I think is what sort of kept that alive. And I think that it's kind of just a, you know, decision to do and a hard thing to do. So
for you, success, how did you learn real estate sales? I mean, sales is an art by you have made it to the top in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And, or is it Tennessee? Is it both Nashville and Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So yep, it is. I'm in the top 15 Tennessee, and my company will be in the top percent in the country. And I'm in the top 100 agents, at least in Keller Williams. I'm in the top 100 agents in the country. So,
okay. So where did you learn it? How did you go into that with such rigor? I mean, sales is rigor.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is
seed.
I love this question. I love this story. I do things really differently than a lot of agents. I'm not a corporate person. I don't tend to follow the book in that world. And I've had many people tell me that I will never be successful because of that. And I've kind of looked at them and said, like, then I'm not going to be successful because I just cannot fit into that structure. I cannot fit into that, that persona. And some people can, and that's fantastic. We need all kinds. I'm very convinced that everyone's skill set is very much needed for us all to operate well. But I am a musician, and I tell people all the time, musicians are my favorite people to profile to hire. Because if you are a musician in Nashville, Tennessee, and you are made a living doing music, you know how to pound the pavement. You're the best networker there is. You've refined your people skills, and you're used to making no money. So you're in a really great position to start real estate. And I was just that, right? I'm not needing a paycheck at the moment because I'm used to nothing. And I am a people person through and through. I'm a networker. That's been my job. Ultimately, a music career is just a networking job. I mean, I'm a good networker. And so I think that skill set plays really well into real estate. And probably also helpful in Nashville in the fact that much of my clientele are musicians and entertainment industry folks. And so I have a lot of the ability to relate and empathize with them in that space as well. So I just, I think that ultimately is it, is I am a networker, I'm a people person, and I'm very bold. I'm very willing to interject myself into conversations and meet new people and engage with them at any level. And that played into my success in real estate in a really big way, I think. And as I've hired musicians or watched other musicians take this route as well, they've also been successful. And I think so much of it's just that bold networking, relational, people first type of mentality.
I love that. And as you pivot and you're going mm-hmm. back into music, keeping this piece mm-hmm. that you've now built, having other people really manage it for you so you can put focus on this, mm-hmm. on your new and old interest, your old love, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you dream will happen as you re-enter? What would be for you the best case scenario that you just, you know, when you close your eyes and you visualize, this is my notion of success, what is it for you?
I love that question. I think, and this year is actually a turning point for me. And I'm in this space now where I could never have mapped this out for my life. There's no way this could have been planned. I could never have said this is step 1 through 5. I never would have arrived here. So much of it has just been kind of rolling with what I need to roll with in the season. But what's really beautiful about being here is that now I have the resource to be able to invest in other artists that I believe are valid and valuable. I have an ability to invest in myself as an artist. I see myself probably owning a record label at some point in time and being able to champion other artists and other musicians and their dreams and their passions, and perhaps alleviate some of the hard that is in that space when you're starting out as a musician. And then I think that what's ironic is I got the opportunity to be part of a really kind of epic, huge music opportunity this year. So it'll take the majority of my time. However, that opportunity came into play because of the success that I've had in real estate. And that's
interesting.
Incredibly ironic to me. There were many times when I was really pounding the pavement in real estate that I kept thinking, like, what am I doing? I'm wasting so much time because I've got music to do and I'm having to do all this that I shouldn't be having to do. And at the end of the day, that is what has arrived me at this ultimate fulfillment of my music dream this year, because of the success and the work and the ability that I, or what I found in real estate, that's what's landed me this. One of my friends said, a super wise friend of mine said that if you find success in something, it's easier to find success in other things because that gives you a seat at the table. It earns you a seat at the table. And I found that to be abundantly true. And so if I could go back, I probably would not, I probably would be a little bit more anxious to own both sides of that, rather than so much of the time that I felt like I was spinning my wheels in my real estate career. And success for me is different. Success for me has nothing to do with money. Money has never been a motivator for me. Recovering the loss is the only financial piece that I was concerned about. But you know, massive monetary success is not something I'm concerned with. However, finding success and being able to manage relationships well, being able to business well, build a business from scratch to something, easily translates into me being able to do my dream and music and do it well and have that be sustainable as well. It's ironic that it's ended that way, but that skill set has become the reason that I'm going to be able to do the music the way I want to do it is because of the skill set I've gained in real estate. Ironic.
So are you able to share what this opportunity is, or is it?
I can't yet. Actually, I can't. It's still under wraps. So I can't share anything quite yet, but I mean, obviously I'm everywhere on socials. I have my personal, my music and my real estate social accounts and everything. And obviously all the announcements will be there when the time comes, but it's just going to be really epic and really exciting. I'm very excited.
So Matt, 5 years from now, we're looking back to today. What mm-hmm. will be different for you 5 years from now from today?
I mean, here's what's so funny about that question. Because of the way that the last decade has gone for me, that's an impossible question for me to answer. Because if you'd asked me that 5 years ago, I would not by any stretch say that I would be sitting here. So I don't know. I think... I think that I anticipate that these music endeavors that I'm pursuing well will have also landed and arrived. And so there's going to be a different level of art and music that I'm able to put into the world, which I'm excited about. My real estate company is continuing to grow. We actually just merged with another top company in the office. And so we're easily in the top teams in the state Southeast, and we've got a lot of big opportunity coming at us from there. So I anticipate that the real estate business will continue to thrive, and we'll be able to continue to serve people well. And I think as I grow, my heart for both of those is as there's success and resource and growth in both of those things, and both of those things kind of actualize and end up becoming stable and providing pretty mass amounts of resource. My hope is that resource goes back into continuing to impact people's lives and change. You know, as cliche as it sounds, my heart has always been to change the world. I want to change the world. I want things better than I found them. I want my kids to have a better world than I've grown up in. And I want to continue to help people. And I'm really passionate about that in a lot of different arenas. And so, as these things become successful and stabilized and growth oriented and big and amazing, I'm hoping that that provides a ton of other opportunity for other people to continue to thrive and for hard stories to find a breath like mine did, and find those hard stories and pour into those hard stories. That's so ultimately in 5 years, I would love that to be the majority of my focus, is pouring into hard stories and figuring out how to bring them out of that hard.
Out of people. So do you ever dream about being one of the judges on America Has Talent?
You know, I have a lot of friends that have been through the ringer on all those shows. I don't know if that's necessarily on my dreams list. But you know, who knows, maybe I'll start my own. I'll start my own competition. I don't know. I definitely am passionate about watching other artists who I think are brilliant and their art and their music needs to be in the world. I am passionate about trying to figure out a way to make sure that they can do that. One of my best friends in the world is the best lyricist I've ever worked with. Him and his wife are a duo. They met in Turkey. His wife is a England national. They're brilliant, beyond brilliant. And they've done the starving musician thing for most of their career. And there's nothing I want more than to be able to take them and say, hey, money is not an issue for you anymore. You don't need to worry about it. Go put the music that you have as a gift to be able to put in that's helping people and changing lives. Go do that and focus on that. Because just the places they could go with that kind of backing would be extraordinary. But having to dance that line of, I also got to figure out how to buy groceries this week, becomes a difficult balance when you're that kind of artist. So I would love to be able to pour into people like that.
You know, what's so amazing about you, Matt, is a lot of people, once they get to that successful part where they've made money, they forget.
Mm.
They forget where they came from and they become something they never were.
So absolutely.
I'm fascinated.
That's heartbreaking. I think that's heartbreaking to watch.
Yes.
And maybe it's because my wife and I have both been there and we're consistently reminded about where we were and invested in the places that we were. And, but I do sell luxury real estate and I sell to a lot of celebrities and a lot of luxury folks. And I have watched plenty of people forget where they came from and, have no interest in being engaged in anything different than where they currently are. And that does break my heart a little bit. I've seen that firsthand in a lot of cases. And I am on the other side of that line. I'm so radically opposed to being that. And anyone in my world, my close community of friends, my family, my wife will all tell you that I really, really struggle genuinely with the success that I found and the amount of resource that I have now. I really struggle with it and I wrestle with it every day. And I want to make sure that I never turn into that. I never become that. I never want to be in a place where I cannot empathize and relate with my friends who do not have that resource across the globe. We adopted two kids from India and I have dear, dear friends in India who live in the poorest of the poor places. And I love them dearly and I consider them equals. They have as much to contribute to humanity as I do. And I never want to be so removed from that I can't go share a meal with them and in their space. So I fight against that every day. And we'll always fight against that because I have no interest in becoming that person. And I've seen it happen a lot. And I think it's easy to do. It's not no judgment or, you know, against that, because I know it's really easy to do, but I am acutely aware of the fact that I do not want to be there. So
let me ask you something else sort of related to that. And that is, when people have gone through the hard times, they're in the hard times and coming out of it, often that's when marriages fall apart. You've held yours together. How?
Barely. If I'm honest, barely. My wife and I have been really, really, really intentional about committing to each other from the beginning. And we've been incredibly honest to each other honest with each other from the beginning. And so I think we went in pretty eyes open. We didn't really have a honeymoon phase ever. We didn't have butterflies and rainbows ever. And some of me misses that. And most of it's because we were in survival from the moment we got engaged. But, so and maybe that's part of it. My wife and I are both really, really, self-aware, very independent individuals. We lived quite a bit of life before we met each other. And we're both very stubborn. And so I think some of that is just sheer willpower to not take an easy route out, which I would argue, I'm not entirely sure that's the easy route anyway. One of my friends who's he's actually the director of a large mission organization, but he works with a lot of families, and he made the comment that they did some interview or they did some survey of folks that when hard times came, they got divorced. And with folks that when hard times came, they stuck it out and fought through that. And most of the families or the individuals they talked to after divorce, 5 years down the road, were still pretty unhappy and pretty unsettled. And there was a lot of hard from the divorce that they're now struggling with, kids and money and lots of stuff. And most of the couples who stuck it out 5 years down the road had a very happy marriage. We're very happy with each other. I think that marriage is supposed to be hard. It's going to be hard. There's always going to be that no matter what your story is. And for us, we just made that commitment that like, even when it's hard and this is really, really not where we feel like we want to be right now, we're going to take a deep breath and we're going to wake up the next morning and try again. And I'm a huge advocate for counseling. I'm a huge advocate for therapy. I think everyone should be in therapy. So my wife and I both have our individual therapy and we have our marriage counseling, and we're both just trying to better ourselves and be better for each other and better parents for our kids, and admit when we don't know what we're talking about, admit when we're wrong. And so anyway, that's a very long-winded answer to a short question. But at the end of the day, even with all of that hard, there's been a lot of barreling moments where we've scraped by and we've just kind of held on for dear life. And we've arrived at the other side of it and been able to take a deep breath and keep going. And that doesn't mean that we're perfect by any stretch now, but we're almost 10 years in and we're still fighting for it. And we're still going to keep going and going to keep fighting for it and fight for our kids and fight for our family and fight for ourselves in that and grow together. And I think there's a Ben Platt song that's beautiful and says, "Grow as we go." And the whole thing is if change is what you need, then change by me and we'll continue to grow together as we go. And there's some, anyway, that's kind of the approach we've taken. So we're here for better or worse.
So in all phases of your life, what you've done is you've fought for it.
Absolutely.
You've fought for it, whether it's with your business, music, or with your marriage. So
absolutely.
What a message to give to people. Don't give up, fight for it. What have
100%.
We
left? I did have another interview with a podcaster the other day, and he asked about what my superpower is, I think is how he worded it or whatever. And I thought about it, and that really is it. I think the superpower there is being stubborn enough and willing enough just to go get it, to try, to never stop trying, to never let go, to never give up. I'm not scared of failure. Failure is I learned something and I have something else to move into, and to fight for things that you believe are important and fight. And that might be your job. That might be financial security, might be your marriage, your family, whatever, but fight for those things that you think are important and continue to fight for those things and don't give up. Sometimes winning the battle is not about being the strongest or having the best armor or the best weapons. Sometimes winning the battle is simply being the last man standing. And that just means you don't give up.
Just don't give up. Mm-hmm. What have we missed that you would like to make sure the audience knows before we finish?
That's a great question. I'd also know what we missed. I think one of the things that I love to bring up and point out, but as also a huge part of my story, is we adopted two kids from India, and we have a biological third kid. So we have three kids. But our adoption story has been pretty amazing. And through that, I got involved with one of the largest anti-trafficking organizations in the world. And I think one of the things that has continually kept my wife and I grounded and potentially been the foundation for why we do fight for people, we fight for ourselves, we fight for our jobs and our passions, is the fact that so much of our effort and our energy for most of our lives has been put into caring for vulnerable populations. So the orphan, the trafficking victim, the, those who just haven't been overlooked and not seen, those are the people that we tend to focus on and tend to care about the most. And I think in doing that, that keeps us grounded, that keeps us fighting for something that's real and organic and authentic. And I think it's so easy, especially in our country, to be able to keep a lot of that at an arm's length and say, "Oh, that all happens over there." And it doesn't, it happens in your backyard. And so, I think that the more that you can care for people, across the board. The more success you'll find, the more grounded you'll stay. And my whole business has been built on caring for people and putting people before profits, championing people's stories, getting to know their stories, and figuring out how I can be a part of their stories, whatever that means, but being a part of their stories and help try to be a voice into that story.
Be a part of people's stories, champion their stories. There aren't enough people who do that, Matt. So it's wonderful to hear that from you. It's also a wonderful reminder to all of the audience that we have today to take a look at the people around and who can you champion. There's a lot of people who are suffering. We just don't open our eyes.
100%. And it doesn't need to be. For some, it's, I'm going to go adopt my children from India. It doesn't always have to be that extreme. And maybe it does need to be that extreme. I've had many people who question themselves and been like, man, I felt like I need to do something radical for a while. And they do, but it might just be your neighbor. My wife and I are super passionate about our neighborhood and our community. And we moved into this neighborhood to find community. And we just started loving on our neighbors. We opened our door. We have dinner with our neighbors multiple nights a week. When we wake up in the morning, most of our neighbors are on our porch for coffee. Like, we just have opened our space, allowed our space to be safe, and made a really intentional point of meeting our neighbors and hearing their stories and pulling them in. And not only is that good for my soul, it's good for them. And that's good for my business. That's good for success, because all of my neighbors refer me as the agent and I get all of that business and all the continued referrals from those, you know? So the more you can just kind of open your space or open a seat at the table for your neighbors and the people directly around you, and love your neighbor sounds cliche, but it's just the truth. I think everything else kind of balances out. I think that brings balance to so many of the things that people strive for so often that could be found in just simply loving your neighbors and fighting for other people's stories.
Love your neighbor and fight for other people's stories. I love it. Thank you so much, Matt. What a wonderful note to end on. We will have information about Matt in the show notes, so encourage you to take a look at that and connect with him. Matt, if anybody wants to listen or hear your music, is there a way in which they could do that?
Excuse me, of course. I'm on everywhere you listen to music. So Spotify, Apple Music, whatever it is, Amazon. And then also I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Find me on socials. My website's mattkirkmusic.com for music and movementproperty.com for my real estate. So find us there. And then my wife and I, we have a travel blog. My family travels a bit. My wife keeps a travel blog, and our travel blog is porchtopassportfamily.com. So there we go.
Wonderful. Well, I encourage you all to connect and to get acquainted, because there's a lot here for each of us to take and model or take the modeling that Matt and his family have given to us. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the focus on that part of the story. I do appreciate that a lot. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome, Matt. And for those of you who are listening to Building My Legacy podcast today, thank you for being with us. And remember to visit our website as well at buildtomorrow.com with the number 2. So thank you very much.
You've been listening to Building My Legacy podcast with Dr. Lois Sonstegard. To book your appointment with Dr. Sonstegard, visit www.buildtomorrow.com.